What a blessed way to start the week. Gather together in love and unity before the Lord. It gives me great joy to be a part of you folks. It really does. I see smiles. I see the beauty. I see your spirit. I feel it. That is so, so much a blessing to me. Let's put up on the screen, if you would, as I start, Ephesians, the screen would be number one, Ephesians 5, 17 through 21. As you well know, over time, well, first of all, we know that we are a Christian nation. There is no denying that at all. We are. I don't care what anybody says. No politician, no demon, no one is going to convince me otherwise. We are a nation that believes in Christ Jesus. We believe in the crucifix. We believe in what he accomplished, Jesus accomplished at the cross. We are a Christian nation. With that said, where have we gone wrong? We've allowed politics and other people, demons, if you will, to tell us what to preach, what not to preach, and in most cases, what not to preach. This man is a man of God. I preach what the Holy Spirit tells me to preach. This is why I'm here. Many, 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 and I mean many, have forgotten that the Holy Spirit is God. They deny that he is who he is, and he is God. The subject that I have this morning that was given to me by the Lord, and trust me, this took me months. So I had to break it into three parts. And still, I wasn't satisfied in the long span how to end it. And the Lord kept telling me, I want you to do it in three parts. You'll see what comes later. Now, I don't hear these voices, but I feel him in my heart. As I say this, it brings me to tears. Because this nation was once a great, powerful nation that believed in God, believed in Jesus Christ, believed in the Holy Spirit. We've gotten away from that. Thus, we see the country in the position that it finds itself in. All through politics. So don't say anything about this and don't say anything about that. Because, see, you're a bigot. You're a this. You're a that. No. We're children of God. We are children of the Most High God. You stand your ground. Stand your ground. They say don't fight back because no. Politicians forget that they are there to represent us. We are the boss, not them. We. This nation, it's not only a Christian nation, it's a powerful nation because we are anointed, ordained by God. No one else. And it's our job as ambassadors of the Lord to take care of it. This is why we're so connected to Israel. I wouldn't have it any other way myself. I've learned so much about Israel and I love it because that's the chosen country. That's the chosen nation. And guess what? We as the Gentiles, we're adopted into the same family. Glory to God. That is a blessing. So the indwelling and the infilling of the Holy Spirit is what we're talking about this morning. Let me begin by first defining, and there's a lot of imbalance in this in most people's minds. Let me begin by first defining the difference between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we touched on it before a little, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit through Scripture. Not my doing, the Word. As we look at specific passages, we can see that being filled with the Spirit is not merely a single event, but a progressive sanctification, a continual process which bears fruit in growth and spiritual maturity while serving the body of Christ and ultimately glorifying the Lord. Amen? Anyone disagree? Didn't think so. And this is where some churches differ. They're afraid of preaching the word because the word has a habit of convicting someone if when that conviction is broadcast to others? Why? You've just insulted my neighbor. He's not going to return. And guess what? That person could very well be bringing in thousands of dollars to the church. I could care less about the money. This ministry is not about money no more than Mark's is. Your ministry, our ministry, we're not about money. We're about souls. There's a war being fought, and we've been losing it. But from here on out, trust me, we're going to start getting that ground back. By placing our faith where it belongs, in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Am I wrong? I didn't think so. The Holy Spirit, by the way, is not third in the Godhead because He's least in value, but because He is the last to be revealed in the pages of Scripture. And that's where we are today. The last days are here. It's up to us as ambassadors of the Lord to make sure that everyone reads, hears, and applies and acts on that word. We've been lacking all three because we're told by those gracious politicians that if you don't do otherwise, that you're a bigot. They call me a bigot, a racist. I'm of Hispanic origin. And most of the people that I know that are doing the wrong thing are of Hispanic descent. But if I speak against them, I'm a bigot. Well, that's okay. Call me what you will. I'm still an ambassador of the Lord, and I'm going to preach the gospel. That's what this is all about, preaching the gospel. There is no other way of preaching it. No other way. Just say what the word says. The Lord told me to make sure that I took my time in explaining this because it is complicated to some, not to all, but to some. Understanding the difference between who the Holy Spirit is, what His function is, and He is God. It's all over Scripture. For some, being filled with the Spirit is associated with a particular point in time, with the evidence of speaking in tongues and the continuation of a heavenly prayer language. Now for others, and this is where the rub begins. Some believe in tongues, others don't, and then they split up. I don't believe in this, and I don't believe in that. Well, I'm here to tell you, slow down. Go before the Lord as I do. You don't chastise someone because they disagree with your doctrine, whatever that would mean. And you place them in the lap of the Lord and say, Lord, embrace this person. And show them, Lord, reveal the things that you have revealed to me. And soon they will learn. But it's not our job to combat them, debate. I do not debate. I do not. They try to corner me into debates. I don't debate. Not because I don't know the word, but because anger comes up, either from my part, mostly from theirs. You got combat now. I've been in combat before. I don't like it. Trust me. What you do is you go before the Lord. For others, it's a focus on the joy of the Lord or cultivating spiritual maturity in Christ. The best place to gain a clear understanding of being filled with the Spirit is in the confines of Scripture. And to recognize the difference between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Confirm everything through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Your answer will come. It did for me. And I'm not very bright. Trust me. I'm not bright at all. But it's the Holy Spirit working through you and through me that reveals Himself and reveals the Word of God, which is Jesus, and reveals what He wants for us. All out of love. I mean, how great is that? Amen? Glory to God. I'm going to share with you, I want to see a raise of hands and who watched. Now, I normally wouldn't do this, but the Lord, somehow I wanted to get away from it, divorce myself from what I'm about to portray to you. But He says, you do it. And I'll show you why, and He finally showed me why. How many of you, by the raise of hands, saw the latest Tombstone movie with Kurt Russell and Doc Holliday? The reason I bring it up is because certain things, I hadn't even thought of it that way. I just thought the movie was a great movie. Not according to history, perhaps a little bit sidestepping things here and there. But nonetheless, the movie itself I thought was great. Doc Holliday was phenomenal. But let me share something with you. And it just went ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. There it is. Now, I can't tell you the whole movie, but I'm going to share with you a couple of pieces that will connect with what I'm trying to, or the Lord actually, trying to preach today. Let me take you to the scene where Doc Holliday is in his deathbed at the hospital, and Wyatt Earp comes by to visit him. They have a conversation. And almost at the very end of this conversation, Wyatt Earp says, "You know, Doc," he says, "I've had a lot of time to think about this." He says, "I can't beat him, can I?" He's talking about Johnny Ringo. He's supposed to have some kind of a gunfight, a duel, right? He says, "I can't beat him, can I?" And Doc says, "No." Now I'll take you to the second scene. Bypass a couple of things. Now, Wyatt Earp and Johnny Ringo had already made an appointment for a gunfight. Quick draw. They hated each other. But they were very talented, very intelligent. But one of them had a good spirit, a little bit, which would be Doc. The other one had a little bit, but not much. Here's the point. Ringo, as Doc begins to approach, instead of Wyatt Earp, Doc took his place. And he comes up, he becomes a substitute, the advocate. The advocate, the substitute. Remember those words, the advocate, the substitute. As he's approaching in the dark, Johnny Ringo says, "Well, I didn't think you were going to show." And Doc Holliday says, "I'm you, Huckleberry." Guy's stunned. Johnny Ringo is stunned. And then Doc says, "Why, Johnny Ringo, looks to me like somebody just ran over a grave." And then Ringo says, "Fight's not with you, Doc." And Doc says, "I beg to differ, sir. We started a game we never got to finish," something to that effect. "Play for blood, remember?" Johnny Ringo now says, "Okay, Lunger, let's do it." And Doc starts doing this. Oh, I forgot this part. He says, "And this time, it's legal." Wyatt Earp had given him a badge. He basically ordained him, let's put it that way. "This time, it's legal." Now, you're talking about the legality of what's going to transpire. In other words, he says, "I'm going to go ahead and kill you," in other words. But Ringo says, "Let's get down to it." Doc says, "Say when." That's where we're at right now. We're asking, actually telling the devil, "Say when." We didn't have that opportunity before. You know why? Because we're missing the boat. The Holy Spirit is not working through us. We got him in a stage where we have quenched him and grieved him. He's there. He's our substitute. He's our advocate. What are we waiting for? Say when. And I'm ready because I'm a man of God, and I know that you are too. Say when. Now, as I said, I wasn't going to give you a complete history on the movie, but I thought, Lord, is this fitting for me to... It's fitting because it makes perfect sense. A substitute, the advocate. He couldn't do it, but he needed someone to help him. That's what the Holy Spirit does with us. Amen? That's what the Holy Spirit does. Yet we call him a force, an energy. He's not. He's God. He's God. So when we preach, we should be preaching according to what the Holy Spirit feeds his flock. That's what he says. feed my flock. Doesn't say you, and you teach him this, and you teach him that, you teach him this. He puts it into your heart. He speaks to you. When you receive the word from Mark, you receive the word from an ordained, and anointed minister of God. You're hearing Jesus. Think of it that way. Maybe not perfect. In fact, I know not perfect. But you are hearing his word. That's what you want. Let's move on. The best place to gain a clear understanding of being filled with the Spirit is in the confines of Scripture, and to recognize first the difference between the indwelling, and this is what we're talking about, the indwelling of the Spirit. That happens the very minute that you accept the Lord as your Savior. He comes and lives in you. It's scriptural. And it doesn't stop there. But you've got to be a born-again Christian first, and then receive the Holy Spirit to move you on. One does one thing. The indwelling, he comes and lives in you. You've invited him to your heart. The next step is where he begins to teach you and train you. You're in boot camp. You're becoming soldiers for Christ. That's what we preach. Because that's what we're supposed to preach. Not how great you are. Not how great others are. Not, oh, we love you so much. And then when they leave, you hate them so much. Am I right? Love is God, and God is love. Am I wrong? So when you say, I love someone, that's the Lord speaking to you. I love you. I don't mind doing it. I don't mind saying it at all. Doesn't make me a lesser man. In fact, I think it makes me a giant. I really do. Love and God are connected. They are the same. Every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Every one of us. The minute you say yes, I can hear Jesus, I can hear God, and the Holy Spirit says, yes! Another one for the kingdom of God. Train them, he says. Teach them. Teach them the word so that they can move on as soldiers. Bold. Not timid. Not afraid. You're soldiers for Christ. Guess who's with you? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Always. That's your advocate. That's your substitute. He does the combat. The Bible sheds light on promises concerning believers in Christ, and one of those promises is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. It's a promise. Book of John 14, 16. Book of John 16, 14 through 17. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you. I will give you another helper. He may abide with you. Jesus Christ told his disciples that he would ask the Father to give them another advocate who would never leave them. Never. The only one that could put a clamp on that issue right there is you. Not God. You. We. I. That advocate is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth. Not lies and deception. The Spirit of truth. He is our advocate and he never leaves us. Go to screen 3 if you would. Ephesians 4 and 30 if you would. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Guess where we are at as a nation today? We're grieving the Holy Spirit. We're grieving. We're quenching him. The power that is in you is not being released because you don't want him to. We're not supposed to be reporting to Biden or to Obama. None of those people. Now here's where it gets a little rubby. Don't say anything about either one because one is white, the other one's black. Yeah. Also, you can't say this. Now, if they're wrong, they're wrong. I don't care about the color. I preach what the Lord tells me to preach. He didn't say, segregate them, put the whites here, the browns here, the blacks here, the reds here, and all. No, unity is what we preach. Why? For God so loved the world. Not one nationality against another. We're united. And what are they trying to do by using the race card? And I know where that came from. Remember, we discussed this. National Council of La Raza. Very familiar with that organization. They're here. Who do you suppose taught this administration how to do what they're doing? La Raza, the race. I know them well. I've been fighting against them, debating against them for years. And you can't beat them no matter what you say, because the minute that they're losing, they call you a racist, a bigot. You don't like whites. You don't like browns. You don't like blacks. And most whites do this. And I've noticed it, even my friends. Oh, I'm not. I'd rather not get involved. Well, I do. I will fight them anytime. Because I know what they're doing. They're using me and you in cutting us. They're using me and you, because you're white and I'm brown, cut us apart. Ah, that's called division. What did God say? Unity. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. You never fail me, Lord. And like I said, I'm not very bright. The early church, for example, was indeed spirit-led, spirit-filled, and composed of believers baptized in the Holy Spirit. The great advances they accomplished were indeed the acts of Holy Spirit working through spirit-filled believers. Working through. Working through. Jesus knew explosive spiritual power was needed to overcome evil. That's where we're at today. Power that could only come by the way of the Holy Spirit. Saints, don't be deceived. Now, I use this a lot. Don't be deceived. Receive. This is where the rub begins. Part-time Christians cannot defeat full-time demons. It can't be done. I've tried it. Can't do it. Can't do it. I tried it on my own, and guess what happened? As soon as I start stepping out on my own, fear attacked me. I said, what am I doing? But the minute I said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I didn't mean to disobey you, Lord. I'm just stupid. And I am. I think most of us are, if you get my drift. Sometimes we act very stupid. Knowing that we are children of the Most High God, and we walk in fear. The devil should be doing that, not us. You've got that power. This is what he's talking about. Empowered. You are empowered. You are empowered. I am empowered. Use that power. Step out and kick him right in the teeth. That's what he's doing to us. And it angers me because we buy into that. We buy into it time and time again. And then we cry, oh, Lord. Well, whatever we got, we deserved. We are his children. He's letting us go through hell, if you will. It's your choice to make. And a lot of people blame the Lord when that, oh God, oh, where is your God now? He's there all the time. We've got a friend in California constantly. Constantly. Al, where's your God? Where was God then when I lost my mother? And I said, don't blame the Lord. That's the last thing you want to do. She's Irish like I am. We have a conversation, Gail and I, about that. So the infilling of the Holy Spirit is for growth, maturity, and divine power. Divine power. Not just power, divine power. Supernatural power that comes from the Lord, from heaven. When we yield to the instruction of the Word of God, we yield to the continual filling of the Holy Spirit. This type of filling relinquishes control. To be filled with the Spirit implies freedom for the Lord to occupy every part of our lives, guiding and controlling us. every step of the way. The book of Acts, for example, is an awakening to the power of the Holy Spirit and how we as Christians can be empowered by the filling to guide us and help us to speak with boldness. Not my words. That's the Lord. I speak to him constantly. He says, Lord, help me. He says, I've been helping you, fool. I've been helping you. Open your Bible. That's me talking to you. That's where the help comes from. And I got, like I said before, I've got Bibles all over our house. That's my wife. Translations after translations and translations after translation. But the main one that I take really and I'm very fond of is the King James. Today I'm preaching from the New King James. Some of the words are a little different, but they mean the same thing, and that's what I look for. That it doesn't deviate away from the truth. I'm going to read to you from Luke chapter 10, verses 19. And it reads, behold, I give you, now listen to that, folks. Not my words. I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Let's go to verse 20. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. Now, when it says scorpions and serpents, it wasn't speaking of scorpions and serpents as we know them. Those are the fools that are making fools out of us. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. The dwelling of the Holy Spirit is in you, right? Let's go to 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. That's us. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. Hallelujah. Yet we're losing. Why? I'll tell you why. We have given in to politicians that know nothing about anything and handed it to them with a red carpet. Here, run us over. It's telling us we have the power. We've been empowered. Not them. They're empowered by somebody else. And you know who that is. Don't ever fall for that. Never. This speaks of the domain of spiritual authority. Born again believers are absolute masters over the adversary. We have been ordained the right to wear the whole armor of God. We've been ordained to do it. According to Ephesians 6, you don't have to go there, 6, 10 through 18. We have the nature of God dwelling in us, his Holy Spirit. Satan didn't figure on dealing face to face with men. First Jesus, now us. When Satan comes against a born-again believer, now listen to this carefully. He is dealing with the third person of the Godhead, a child of the Most High God, filled with the Holy Spirit. And in Galatians 4, 6, and 9, it really speaks of our victory. Victory in Jesus. That's where our victory is. So if you feel like you're losing, victory in Jesus. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Father. Welcome. And guess what happens? Galatians 4 and 6, and because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. No, you've got the ammo. You've got the weapon. According to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, you can read it all the way through. We have been ordained. We are anointed, not just us as your ministers or ambassadors, as your friends. We all are. We are blessed. And we owe it all to Jesus. We do. And unfortunately, much to my concern, most will not preach it. They refuse to preach. Go to, if you would, just the Lord just gave me something. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 through 18. Christ did not send me to baptize. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words. In other words, a professional speaker, so to speak, if you would. Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. There it is again. Over and over and over and over. God says, I have empowered you. I have anointed you with power. Use it. Use it. How can you be a soldier of Christ if you don't believe on the cross? How can you be a soldier of Christ if you don't believe in Christ? How can you be a son of God if you don't believe in God? If you don't believe this part of the Bible, this part, you got a problem. I believe it all. All the way from Genesis to Revelation, and you cannot part me from that. I don't care what book you give me. If there is a dispute between the book and the Bible, guess which way I'm going to lean? Towards the Bible. Man produced the book. God produced the word. Case closed. Simple as that. That's what we follow. This is what I like about being connected with Mark. He preaches and teaches what we do. Book, chapter, and verse. Sometimes we tell a little story here and there to give you a little shock. But nonetheless, we do it from the heart with good intentions, and it's all clean and it's all good. And believe me, we pray. As I said, this has taken me months. Now, this is only part one. Next time we meet prayerfully and hopefully anointed by the Lord, which I know it is, part two. And then whenever we have time again, we'll do part three. This is not normal, but the Lord wants me to find out from you. Do you have any questions before I end it about anything that we've covered this morning? As I close, let me not caution you, but let me just bring up a flag. What you see now is not going to get any better. And I'm talking about nationally. It's not going to get better. Unless we make things happen. Because see, the Lord has already made it happen through the cross. That's what he's trying to tell us. He's succeeding in telling us. We're just not successful enough or smart enough to understand it and apply it. We're just not. I know for a long time I just couldn't get it. I couldn't get it. But when I did, oh my God. Something happened in me. I've been called a liar, a fool. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in this. I don't believe in doctrines. I don't believe in religion. I just don't. OCS ministry, my background actually was, and I speak very briefly of myself, not to glorify me, but to glorify the Lord. I was Catholic, so I know their deal. I've been a Baptist, been a Methodist, I've been a Pentecostal, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons. I've done it all, Judaism. But it all boils down to one thing. My law book. My salvation, the Word of God, from this book. There's no need for any addendums. I make my own notes, yeah, but sometimes I even lose them. Like my wife says, I walk into your office and I can't even tell where your desk is anymore. Neither can I, but don't tell her. I lose my notes and I happen to carry it in my pocket someplace or over here. Then I go back into the office and, Lord, where was I? He was right here, so, oh, there it is, And then I go to the scriptures, and then I do some more praying. As I said, I've been praying about this for months, and it took me months and months and months to put this together. Because, see, unfortunately, sometimes when you speak of preaching about the indwelling, the filling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, a lot of people walk away from it. But I didn't realize it until not too long ago when a friend supposedly told me not to preach in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then ding, 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 ding. Honestly. You can't stand up and glorify the Lord. Oh, no, no, no. Because, see, the boogeyman is going to come in. Let me ask you a question, and I'll stop it there. Do you suppose, for 1 minute, do you suppose, now I'm speaking to an intelligent group filled with the Holy Spirit, I can tell. Do you suppose that God would allow some idiotic, evil demon to walk into his church, the group in unity, when they are filled with the Holy Spirit and then come and attack you and make you turn into something else? In other words, something evil, demonic. Do you suppose? I don't think so. I don't think so. Let me clarify this. When you are with the Lord, ask Him to be with you and thank Him. That's what I do. Thank Him. Thank you, Lord. And I've preached this before. I preached this before. I was a very unhappy man. I was a very unhappy child. I had a very unpleasant journey in the Marine Corps. I suffered PTSD. I became a drunk. I became no good. Yet, I was a child of God. I accepted the Lord as my Savior at age 13. I'm 77 now. That's a long time. Why do I bring this up? Because the change that was made in me, little by little, this is why I did not refrain from bringing up the fact that it's a progression. You grow. And then I thought about it. The training we received in the Marine Corps was intense. But it started off slowly. By the time we almost were graduating, I'll never forget this, the drill instructor said, okay, in a few days you'll be Marines. You will never, ever, ever again be this fit. I was small, but I was so powerful, I could have gone through a brick wall with nothing flat. I could do it. I tried it the other day, and it didn't work for me. My wife did too with the floor, and she broke her shoulder. You see what I'm saying? But you can't go around saying, I'm a child of God, and not acting on it. If you behave one way that's anti your church, so to speak, so when you walk in here, oh, we're all just in love. Then we walk out, oh, did you see old Henry down there? I hear that a lot too. Pray for them. Pray for them and thank the Lord. Again, this is what I do. I do it all the time. Lord, I messed up. I messed up. But the last thing I want to do is mess you up by bringing you what I shouldn't be bringing to you. This is why Mark enthused me, inspired me in the way he does things. He's not a preacher, but he's a very, very good teacher. Perfect match. Now you got a perfect teacher, almost, and an almost quite, you know, preacher. But together, remember the fight? David and Goliath, who won? David. Gideon, the story goes on and on and on and on. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. So folks, you don't have to use one finger or two, although this is good. Two eyeballs, two fingers. But together as a church, you've got a fist. Empowered. Listen to this, folks. Listen to this. Empowered by the Holy Ghost Himself from heaven. What an honor. Thank Him. Thank Him. Heavenly Father, we thank You for today, Lord. We thank You for Your word. And I carry a burden in my heart. People are hurting, Lord. But it's our own fault. We don't listen to You. Sometimes we listen to You, but we don't hear You. much to my dismay, Father God, because I'm guilty of that too, Father. But we are fortunate, we're blessed, and we want to thank you, Father, for bringing us in unity together as your church. We are your church, Father. We are your children. We love you, Father God, and although we misstep, oftentimes we disobey you. Help us to learn how to obey your word, Father God, how to obey you, that you may see us through. Also, Father God, I would pray that our friend Mark and his lovely bride, Teresa, are doing good, are doing fine. Bless them, Lord. May they be healthy and in their travels, Father God. Embrace them and keep them safe. And keep them away from the hands of the demons and away from powers and principalities of the air, Father God, we pray. Thank you for this opportunity, Father God. We love you, we praise you, and we worship you. And in Jesus' name, amen.